Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
Jack Chiarelli's making good gains in New Jersey in early voting. The president making good gains on the world stage economically. And rabbis for Zoran Mamdani. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. It is our happy hour, brought to you by the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, where we will be live Halloween this coming Friday, October 31st, from 3 to 7 p.m. You can come for part of the show. You can come for all the show. You don't need a ticket. You don't need a reservation. The show is free, 3 to 7 p.m., and we'll have a lot of fun. If you do want to stay over there, we have 50% off. 50% off room rates for Friday night, 50% off for Saturday nights. No minimum stay required. You stay Friday night, you can stay Friday and Saturday, you could stay just Saturday, whatever you want to do. But either way, come to the live show, 3 to 7 p.m., our Halloween spectacular this Friday at my happy place, the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. Number of things to get to this hour with you. Including this latest report from the House Oversight Committee that Biden, the AutoPen did not know what it was doing. All right? The AutoPen did not know what it was doing, and it should all be reversed. Now, I don't think it's going to happen. I don't imagine that's ever going to happen. But nevertheless, that's the report, the conclusion by the House Oversight Committee, which was released today. I'll get a chance to digest it a little bit later, and I'm sure we'll have probably an expert on tomorrow to talk about it. I have no doubt Joe Biden did not know what the hell was going on. And the problem, though, is that you need really somebody to come forward and say that, you know, they didn't do this. And then just going to have somebody else come forward and say that they did. Opening up the Pandora's box, though, of undoing the pardons becomes problematic, you know, going forward. So I'm not sure if anything will necessarily come of it. But I do think it's good to just get it documented that Biden was gone. I mean, he was senile and didn't know what was happening. And other people were making the decisions. And they have said before that they were bulk pardoning and were not running these pardons by the president. And their argument was, we didn't have to because he gave us a criteria and we followed the criteria. And as long as we were following the criteria, then we were OK. We didn't have to ask him for each particular pardon. I don't think it's how it works. It's certainly not the intention of the pardon power of the president. But nevertheless, it would be a tough thing to argue that the president can't delegate that authority like he delegates other authority. So I'm not sure that anything comes of this, but it's good to know that the House Oversight Committee has got it all down on paper, that the previous administration was out of their freaking mind. As far as the shutdown goes, the shutdown is boring. And it doesn't seem to be ending, but it's also hurting Democrats. Let's cue up cut number 8. So Harry Enten on CNN dug into the numbers here, and the numbers don't lie. Republican approval has actually gone up since the shutdown, and people are blaming Democrats for this. So I guess the question then is, why are the Democrats doing this? What I come back to is that the party is being held hostage by lunatics and the party now is of, by, and for the lunatics. And that's why people that stand out like John Fetterman and want to open the government up and work with his Republican counterpart, Dave McCormick, to do so, they get a primary challenge. That's what they get. But the numbers don't lie. This is hurting Democrats. Cut number 8.
Starting with Republicans, how has the shutdown seemed to have affected their political standing?
Yeah, you might think, given that the Republicans are in charge of both the House and the Senate, that a government shutdown might actually hurt the Republican brand. But in fact, it hasn't. If anything, it's been helped a little bit. Take a look here, the shift in net popularity versus pre-shutdown. When we're looking at the Republican Party overall, that brand actually up 2 points. That's within the margin of error, but clearly it hasn't dropped. Come over to this side of the screen. Look at the net approval ratings for Republicans in Congress. It's actually up 5 points since pre-shutdown. So what we're seeing here is the Republican brand in Congress has actually improved somewhat compared to where we were pre-shutdown, despite the fact that Republicans control. And that's the math that John Thune and Mike Johnson are looking at is, well, hey, why should we give an electorally speaking when our brand is actually improved a little bit?
Now, we say their position is getting better. With whom?
Yeah, okay, with whom? So I think it's two groups that it's so important to keep an eye out on. All right, change in the Republican Congress's net approval rating versus pre-shutdown. It's rallying the base for sure. Look at this, the net approval rating up 12 points versus pre-shutdown. But it's not just with the base. It's also with the middle of the electorate. Look at this, among independents, it's up 8 points as well. So we've got a situation here where Republicans with the shutdown are actually rallying their base, but it's also something that's not hurting them with the folks in the middle. If anything, it's helping them with folks in the middle. And this is the type of math that if you're Republicans, you like to see, right? Because something could rally the base but alienate those in the middle, or something could rally those in the middle but alienate the base. But the truth is, we're not seeing that. What we're seeing is the Republican brand has actually gotten better among independents, and it's also gotten better among Republicans as well, that Republican brand when it comes to those in Congress. So again, what's the electoral reason that Republicans would give in at this point?
And Democrats, of course, they have their eyes on the midterm elections. Yeah, we have elections 1 week from today, but what Democrats in Congress are mostly focused on are 1 year and 1 week from today from the midterm. So how do Democrats, how are they positioned right now?
Yeah, so I mean, look, the general congressional ballot, which traditionally Democrats have done really well on, and if you look at this point back when Trump was president the first time around, Democrats were up 11 points. Look at where it is now. Democrats are ahead, but they're actually only up 3 points. This is, in fact, the worst position Democrats have been on in a generic ballot at this point in midterm when there was a Republican president in the last 20 years. And this is no different from pre-shutdown. So Republicans aren't losing on this metric either. They become more popular.
Wow. I mean, there you go. I don't know what to tell you. This is why this left-wing group, or this center-left group, has come out and said left-wing ideas have wrecked the Democrats and wrecked their brand. And who are the people that are pushing right now, pushing for the shutdown to continue? AOC and the lunatics, and that's why they're holding the country hostage at this point. So Democrats have badly weakened their party with left-leaning ideas and rhetoric, growing only with self-described white liberals, while losing ground with other voters, according to a new center-left group's report. The group called Welcome, which is a group that consulted hundreds of thousands of voters over 6 months for its broad findings, including that 70% of voters think the Democrat Party is out of touch. Most voters, the group found, believe the party over-prioritizes issues like protecting the rights of LGBTQ+ Americans, fighting climate change, while not caring about securing the border or lowering the crime rate. Elected Democrats will receive copies of the report, and what they said was the Democrat Party had better listen for the good of the nation. Inspired by the Politics of Evasion, which was an influential 1989 paper that inspired the party's more centrist shift under Bill Clinton, the 70-page Deciding to Win document argues that Democrats must be willing to break with unpopular party orthodoxies by doing a prescription of getting the party out of its current wilderness of talking about all of these far left issues. However, they recognize, though, it's not going to be easy, because for the last 20 years, Democrats have just misunderstood how you actually win elections. And the base now is loco, and that's where they are. So if you're wondering why the shutdown is still going and Democrats are hurting, it's because within the party base, they're not hurting. So the people that they are, imagine the Democrats are in, you ever have those like scary Halloween things where you're trapped in a nightmare you can't wake up from, and you think to yourself, what if I never wake up? You have a really scary dream. Imagine being stuck in a perpetual primary where you constantly have to worry about somebody coming to your left flank and out-leftying you. That's the Democrat Party right now. They are in a perpetual hellscape primary where they are so worried about their own base that they can't do anything. So it doesn't matter how unpopular it makes them nationally. They're more worried about a primary. That's what they're worried about. That's why this is still going on. I mean, it's insane. And you say to yourself, why would they keep doing this if they're losing popularity? It's because of what I just told you. Because within the base of the Democrat Party, they love this. They think it's great. Stand up to Trump. Yeah. Speaker Johnson talked about what the Democrats are spending money on. Want to hear some of this? This is cut number 9 from his daily press conference where he comes out and talks about the latest priorities for Democrats who want to keep the government shut down. Cut 9.
Things like $4 million for global LGBTQI plus awareness campaigns around the world. $4 million for the LGBTQI plus democracy grants in the Balkans. They want $2 million for feminist democratic principles projects in Africa. We're not doing that. But again, the question is why? Why? This sounds crazy. It is. Why would they do this? And what we saw on vivid display over the weekend was the re-emphasis of this fact. This is motivated purely out of fear. And what do we mean by that? You saw the Democratic leader in the House, Hakeem Jeffries, endorse Zohran Mamdani for mayor of New York City on Friday. It was an illustration of what we're facing here. The Democrats right now fear the far-left activists more than they fear air traffic controllers, border patrol agents, American service members, and so many others missing their paychecks. They fear the Marxist insurgents like Mamdani more than they fear families and children going hungry from lapsed benefits that keep food on their tables. They simply fear losing their own political positions next November if they don't appease the angry far-left base right now.
That's it. That's what it is. They're a perpetual primary hellscape where every single day they got to worry about lunatics. So they don't care if nationally they lose in the polls. It doesn't matter to them. They are worried about a primary challenge. So this group that writes this report, throw it away. Rip it up and throw it away. It doesn't matter. As long as you have Democrats that are acting like this, you could tell them what they need to do to win, but they're more worried about just keeping their own seat. So they're not going to be the adults in the room and push back on the crazy. They want crazy to vote for them. They literally want crazy to vote for them so they can remain a senator, remain a member of the House, whatever it is. Meanwhile, they're getting blamed for this too. And MSNBC, let's cue up cut number 12, MSNBC sounding the alarm that Democrats and Chuck Schumer are taking blame for this. Yes, they are. Voters are turning on them, but not the base. And this is the distinction. Cut 12.
Yeah, I mean, this is a very dramatic call from that union of federal employees representing hundreds of thousands with a statement today saying, among other things, that it's time for our leaders to start focusing on how to solve problems for the American people rather than on who is going to get the blame for a shutdown that Americans dislike. Because when the folks who serve this country are standing in line for food banks after missing a second paycheck because of this shutdown, they aren't looking for partisan spin. They're looking for wages that they earned. They go on to essentially say that Congress needs to pass, in their view, a clean CR. Now, when Speaker Mike Johnson was asked about this today, he certainly kind of leaned into this. In fact, we saw several top Republicans on the House side take advantage of this statement and basically point to it, saying, Democrats, the ball is in your court now, whether or not you decide to act on this. Johnson saying, I certainly hope this is a turning point in the shutdown, noting that this is a union, after all, that is weighing in this sort of way and saying that the shutdown is a charade. Now, of course, at the same time, I have in recent weeks spoken to Democrats representing districts with heavy populations of federal employees, and their message that they say they've been receiving from federal workers was keep up the fight, that health care is the fight worth having.
All right, let me jump in here. Thank you. Thank you for playing. Thank you. Okay. You see what I mean? Keep up the fight. That's MSNBC. So we know it's bad. We know it's bad. But keep up the fight. Because the lunatic fringe base nutbags love it. That's where we are right now. That's where they are right now. It's great for Republicans. I mean, it's fantastic for them. It really is. And they don't care. But the American people are seeing that this is a shutdown over really nonsense. And now they're going to start getting annoyed when they have to take flights, which we're getting into the travel season. Like, I was talking to somebody today who said she's going to go fly to see her son at college. Right. And by the way, and thanks to Brian Zelensky, the vampiric one, for sending this my way on Twitter. Shocking. I'll tell you, this is shocking. Who could have ever saw this coming? Charlie Kirk's the suspect in the assassination of Charlie Kirk, his trans lover, has gone missing. The transgender lover of Charlie Kirk's alleged killer has seemingly vanished from his hometown 6 weeks after the political assassination that shook the country. Lance Twiggs has been on the down low since his boyfriend, Tyler Robinson, allegedly shot the Turning Point USA co-founder dead and then sent Twiggs a string of text messages confessing to the slaying. Twiggs has steered clear of his $1,800 per month love nest on the outskirts of the isolated desert oasis of St. George. So he's gone missing. A lot of people thought those text messages sounded very performative, like the same way the ending of Breaking Bad, where Walter White was trying to protect Jesse. So, you know, by making it clear that he was the one who did it, you know, and that maybe that the lover was in on it, too. Or maybe the suspect is a patsy. I mean, at this point, he's a suspect. He's not guilty of anything. But the whole thing stinks to high heaven, that's for sure. And I find it interesting that the lack of curiosity around this is just mind-blowing. Anyway, the National Air Traffic Controllers Association, once people start having their flights disrupted, once they start having their travel plans disrupted, then you're going to see people really getting mad. Like, they're really going to get angry. But again, the Democrats don't care, because as long as their base is happy, this shutdown can go on for months, go on for years. They don't care. They're more afraid of losing in a primary this spring than winning in the general election in November. Let me say that again. Democrats are more worried about losing in a primary this coming spring than winning the general election in November. Because for many of them, they have safe seats in the House of Representatives. In a general election, you're not going to beat them. I've told you this before. When you look at these districts, there are maybe 25 that are actually competitive in the entire House of Representatives. So out of 435 seats, 25 are really competitive. So now divide that in half. 12 for the Republicans, 12 for the Democrats. I know it's not 25, but you get my point. Right. Not a math guy, but you get the point. So of those 12, yeah, there'll be the ones who vote to open the government, or maybe they'll vote, they'll talk tough, they'll try to silence it. But the others, all they're worried about is somebody from their left flank coming in and beating them in a primary, and now they're not a congressman anymore. Now they're not a, you know what I mean? Because they'll easily win in the general election against a Republican. The district is just, that's the way the district is designed. There's no way to win. The district is so rigged politically that it doesn't matter. We can't win in that district. So out of 435 House seats, 25 are really up for grabs in general, and the rest are solid, but not in a primary, because somebody could run to your left and win that primary, and now you're out. Good luck. That's all they care about. Here's the president. This is cut number 11, the president of the National Air Traffic Controllers Association, talking about what they want as they're all dealing with now going without a paycheck. Try to keep planes from crashing into each other and falling out of the sky. One of the absolute most high-stress jobs out there, without having to worry about whether or not they're going to be able to put food on the table and make their mortgage payments. Cut number 11.
Day in and day out, that's now the life of an air traffic controller. The people tasked with making the impossible possible are having it made impossible by not paying them again. So the message is simple. End the shutdown today. There is no excuse that these hardworking men and women are showing up to do this job and to not ever know when they're going to get paid again. So we need America's help. We need you to stand up, and we need you to say enough is enough in this shutdown and ensure that we can move this forward, because we do not want to be up here telling you the sad stories. We want to be up here telling you how we're moving this system forward, how we're bringing in more air traffic controllers than ever, how we're modernizing this system to, you know, serve the American people. So, again, you cannot stress enough. If you want to take action, contact your congressional representative and tell them end the shutdown today.
They don't care. They don't care. And they also don't care that the largest federal workers union is calling on Democrats to end the shutdown. Senator Dick Durbin, Cut 13 now, let's cue that up, was on CNN and was asked a question flat out. Like, hey, they're siding with the Republicans here. They're siding with the president. And they want the government open again. You going to give in? Nope, because he's worried about a primary challenge, too, that loser. Cut 13.
Hearing from this union, as you said, Everett Kelly, you called him a good leader, hearing them effectively side with Republicans and the president, does that have an impact on you?
Of course it does. I felt strongly for this union. Everett's a friend and is doing a good job. But we also feel strongly for these families and the possibility that other Republican actions are going to be closing hospitals and clinics and nursing homes across this country. This is a crisis situation. We should resolve it as quickly as possible.
It does not change the strategy that Democrats have employed so far when it comes to this shutdown, stare down.
No. As a matter of fact, I think we can resolve this matter as soon as the president's willing to sit down with Republican leaders and Democratic leaders.
Now, this union, which normally backs Democrats, by the way, is saying to end this thing right now. The nation's largest federal workers union calling on Congress to end the shutdown. And these guys don't care. This AFGE, which represents more than 80,000 people. But the Democrats don't care because these are not maybe if you are a congressman in Virginia or Maryland and you got to worry about a primary challenge from the federal workers, maybe. But beyond that, you don't give a damn what they say. Because you're worried about a primary challenge. Bottom line. Unbelievable to me. It really is. It really is. It's just. But hey, let it keep going. I mean, they're killing themselves. I am worried about the Thanksgiving travel season, though. I'm worried about the airports and worried about all that. But beyond that, hey, listen. It's hurting the Democrats politically, and they're not going to give in. So that's it. That's what it is. Meanwhile, we're going to be at the Grand Hotel on Friday. I wanted to see you join us for that, for our live show for Halloween, our Halloween spectacular. It's going to be great. All right. It's going to be a lot of fun. Special guests, a lot of wonderful people coming together. And, you know, we love these live shows because we love hanging out together. It's just a lot of fun. And Halloween in Cape May is absolutely amazing. And don't forget, 50% off your room if you want to stay over. If you want to stay over. Let's cue up Cut 26. The Secretary of the Treasury, Scott Bessent, was on Meet the Press with Kristen Welker. And she's trying to blame the shutdown on President Trump. I don't know how the hell you blame the shutdown on him when it's Democrats not voting to open the government. But hey, nevertheless, Cut 26.
Now in the second longest shutdown in U.S. history, when will President Trump meet with Democrats to try to bring this shutdown to a close and get federal workers their paychecks back again, Mr. Secretary?
Well, Chris, I'm going to have to reject the premise of your question. Why did President Trump have to meet with Democrats? Democrats just need to go into the Senate and vote to end the shutdown.
But President Trump has said in the past it's up to the president.
52.
He's the president.
No.
He said that in the past. He said you have to be a leader. The president has to lead. You have to get people into a room. Well, you have to get a deal. When's he going to do that?
Well, he is leading, and there's no deal to do with Chuck Schumer. Chuck Schumer is trading off his polls. What's different than when he passed a clean CR in the spring? It's his polls. You know, the whole country's being held captive to AOC's polls. But let's look at the numbers. It's 52-3. 52 Republicans have voted, I believe it's 11 times, to reopen the government. 3 Democrats have. And right here, right now, I would urge moderate Democratic senators to come across the aisle, reopen the government, because I'll tell you, we're starting to eat into muscle here. This is starting to affect travel. It's starting to affect the economy. And, you know, this is quixotic. I don't know what the purpose is. I'm not sure they do.
The purpose is to avoid a Democrat primary. But the secretary is absolutely right. As far as the president being a leader, he's not a member of Congress. So there's only so much he can do right there. But then Representative Purple Hair, Representative LaRosa, you remember her? She's the hottie from with the purple hair, is like 175 years old. She stands up and she blames Republicans for blocking SNAP funds. Huh? You guys can open the government and get your SNAP funds. Like I said to that guy today on American Reports when I was on, he's going on about the Gateway Tunnel Project. I said, well, reopen the government, you'll get your tunnel. It's not that complicated. It really isn't. It's not that complicated, but they have to be the resistance. They have to be the resistance to Trump. I frankly don't care. I just think it's funny and how politically stupid this is for them, except if you're worried about a primary challenge. And this is a problem with how these congressional districts are drawn in this country, because if we actually had competitive congressional districts, and let me say this, if we had districts that were actually competitive and not safe, where every November was an actual fight, where every 2 years you actually had a battle to keep your seat in the House in the general election, this would not be happening right now. This would not be happening. But like I said, only 25 out of 435 seats in the House of Representatives are actually competitive. The rest, all they got to worry about is just surviving a primary challenge. So they got to just raise money and make their left flank happy. That is the problem. We also need term limits for this exact reason, because these people do not want to do anything that could risk them leaving. But here's Representative Purple Hair Nutbag LaRosa. This is cut number 10 from her Tuesday press conference, where she goes on to blame Republicans, even though the Democrats could easily vote to reopen the government. Cut 10.
Of the Empowerment Control Act of 1974. The contingency funding that we set aside for SNAP is not optional spending. It is required by the law. We appropriated that money for this purpose. The White House must spend it. And what they are doing right now, blocking these funds from going out, is illegal. As a matter of fact, on October 1st, they took $750 million from this fund to deal with paying benefits in Puerto Rico and providing administrative costs to other states. So they acknowledge that this fund can be used in order to deal with SNAP benefits. There's nothing stopping the Trump administration from making sure that every single one of the 42 million Americans, 16 million children, 8 million seniors, 4 million people with disabilities, 1.2 million
veterans. All right, you get the point. Thank you. All right. All right, John. You could thank you. Reopen the government then. I mean, it's not that complicated. The president has powers when there's a shutdown to divert funds. I mean, that's just what, you know, that's how it works. So if you allocate money and the government's not open, then the president has the power to basically divert those funds to other areas. And that's what he's doing. And if you don't like it, vote to open the government and then you can deal with it. That's what you could do if you want to, but they don't want to. That's the thing. This is Representative Purple Hair just wants to be part of the resistance. Michael Knowles today was on Capitol Hill testifying about political violence, masterful execution. We'll get into some of that with you. And a montage that is making the rounds today of all the times Democrats called Trump Hitler, and The View saying that Donald Trump is a dictator because he wants to run for a third term. Do you see the point, the problem with that? Running for a third term, dictators typically don't run for anything. They just assume power. But we'll get into that as well as we go on here. But I want to tell you about Bob's Little Sports Shop, my great friends over at Bob's. You know, I love the people at Bob's, and I want you to think about something very unique this holiday season. As we're getting into the holiday season, I want you to think about doing an event at Bob's Little Sports Shop. Instead of the same old, why not have an event at Bob's? They can do events with up to 30 people, with private instructors, and these are NRA-certified range safety officers. And you don't need prior experience. You don't need a firearms ID card. You can just go and have a great event. No alcohol or drugs permitted. We're also getting into hunting season right now. And Bob's can help you get all the gear, get your licenses, and make sure your licenses are good. All the latest hunting gear that you need. You have to make sure your license and permits are current, and Bob's will help you do that as well. They are a full-service shop with the absolute best selection. And you'll want to stock up on equipment for hunting season. Bob's has the absolute best, including the grand new Benelli in stock with a wide variety of scopes and optics for every gun. So stop by Bob's for all your hunting needs and visit them on Delsey Drive in Glassboro. They're easy to get to from wherever you are. Or go to bobslittlesportshop.com. You'll see they've got classes going on. They've got events going on. And you could learn how to properly protect yourself with a firearm. You could learn because they will teach you. And they'll even help you get a firearm. They'll help you find the best gun for your needs, help you with the paperwork, help you every step of the way. That's what Bob's Little Sports Shop does. So whether you're a hunter gearing up for hunting season and you want to get the great equipment and the scopes and everything else, whether you want to have a great event with your team, your coworkers, whoever, or whether you are looking to protect yourself and your family, Bob's Little Sports Shop is your go-to place. It's my go-to place. Make it yours as well. Just go to bobslittlesportshop.com. This ad sponsored by Bob's Little Sports Shop.
The Rich Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're back, and great to have you with us today. 855-839-1210 is the number if you want to weigh in, or on X at Rich Scioli. YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, at Rich Scioli Show. So join us for that. Now, Democrats have said for the longest time that they don't call Trump Hitler. You've heard that. I've heard that. And we've all heard that. But we've got a montage for you where they absolutely 100% do. We're going to get to that this hour. And Zoran Mamdani, the lunatic leftist nutbag who's going to become the mayor of New York City, has had to change his story regarding his aunt because it was a lie. And so he's now walking this back, this idea that his aunt suffered Islamophobia in New York City. don't doubt the effect that this guy and this race has on the New Jersey governor's race, because I saw a story today where a lot of North Jersey residents in particular are very concerned about Mamdani, and they're very concerned that Mikey Sherrill has endorsed him and will be on his team. So I think the Mamdani factor in the New Jersey governor's race absolutely 100% plays a part in all this. I really do. Think about it. You're up in North Jersey. You commute into New York City. You have to work there. You got to deal with crime around your office. You got to deal with, you know, all the nonsense. You got to deal with New Jersey Transit. You got to do whatever it is. And maybe you choose to drive in. Then you got to pay a congestion tax. Cittarelli has already said that on day number one, he'll put a congestion tax on New York City. Anybody who leaves New York, he'll reciprocate. Mikey Sherrill's not going to go to battle against Mamdani. No way. Because, again, she'll upset her base. She'll upset the kooks. She'll upset the lunatics. And she wants to run for president. This is a stepping stone for her. First Trenton, then the White House. That's how these people think. Now, Jack said it last night when he was in Burlington County at Mount Laurel outside Rowan College. Thank you for coming out if you joined us last night. It was a wonderful crowd. It was great to see everybody. And he said it. He said, you know, for the last 40 years, governors in New Jersey have used the office as a platform to run for president. He goes, I don't want to run for president. This is my final destination. I want to do this job and I want to go to the beach. And I think he said Surf City. I think is where he said his beach destination is going to be. He doesn't want to write a book. I don't want to do anything like that. Just wants to be governor, fix the state, and get out. I love that. I think it's great. Because if you're not thinking about your national ambitions, if you can actually just do the hard work and maybe some of that's unpopular, you can turn a state like New Jersey around. Mikey Sherrill, if she gets elected, God forbid, she will 100% absolutely start raising money. There'll be a super PAC created for her, and it will all be about how do I get to Washington. She really doesn't care about New Jersey now, so why would it be any different? And every policy decision will be viewed through the lens of, does this help me win the Democrat primary for governor for president in 2028? That's it. That's how she'll view the lens of every decision she makes. And all the advisors around her will tell her, don't worry, you only have to worry for a year about this pesky little garden state. So just don't do anything to upset the base, and then we'll have you on the speaking circuit. We'll have you out in New Hampshire. We'll have you in South Carolina. We'll have you in Iowa. We'll have you in all these places. You'll be headlining dinners, the popular female governor of New Jersey. It's funny. Barack Obama's out there telling everybody who's black to vote for Abigail Spanberger, the same guy who lectured the brothers that if they didn't vote for Kamala Harris, that they were sexist. So the question that I have is, does that make Barack Obama, is Barack Obama admitting that he's a sexist because he won't vote for the black woman? Winsome Earl Sears in Virginia. I mean, I'm curious about that. I was curious. Because, again, he lectured everybody and said, if you're not voting for Kamala Harris, you're a black man, you're probably sexist. So, and he literally used the phrase, the brothers. So now he's backing the white woman in the race, Abigail Spanberger, against the black woman running in the race, Winsome Earl Sears. I'm just wondering if that's Obama's self-sexism coming out. But I digress. Here's Zoran Mamdani through tears. This is cut number 21, lying about his aunt and the Islamophobia that she had to face after 9/11, which is all BS. And I can tell you, I mean, everybody knows New York City could not have been more accommodating to Muslims and other people and people that wore hijabs. And they could not have been more accommodating. The idea that there was rampant Islamophobia in New York City when Rudy Giuliani was going out there all the time and saying that it would not be tolerated, and he was having the NYPD go after anybody who even hinted at doing anything to bully somebody because of their faith. Now, that's not to say that they didn't spy on mosques and do other things, but as far as just the day-to-day Islamophobia, no, that is a lie. And here's Mamdani lying about it, cut 21. Cut 21.
I want to speak to the memory of my aunt.
Who
who stopped taking the subway after September 11th because she did not feel safe in her hijab.
Is that it, John? Okay, I didn't hear the count. Here's Zohra Mamdani saying that his aunt, was who suffered Islamophobia, is actually not really his aunt, and she's dead. Cut 22.
Yes, that's... I was speaking about my aunt. I was speaking about Zerafui, my father's cousin, who sadly passed away a few years ago. And for the takeaway from my more than 10-minute address about Islamophobia in this race and in this city to be the question of my aunt tells you everything about Andrew Cuomo and his inability to reckon with a crisis of his own making.
What do you think about all that?
The fact is that Mamdani is a crisis actor is what he is. That's what he is. He is a crisis actor. So let's cue up cut 23. I'm going to play it in just a second, but I want to set the stage here for this. And this is the big story of the hour brought to you by Dr. Mike Veneria, Veneria Dental. Go see him today. He's got an office in Cinnaminson and Woodbury, and he will give you the beautiful smile that you deserve. So Cuomo goes on Sid Rosenberg's morning show on WABC in New York City. And Cuomo and Rosenberg have known each other for a long time. And Sid Rosenberg makes a joke that if another 9/11 happened, well, Cuomo was making the point, like, could you imagine this guy handling another 9/11? And Rosenberg makes a joke saying that he would cheer it on. All right. It's a joke. I mean, Rosenberg is a funny guy. He's a morning show host. It's, you know, and Cuomo laughs at that. OK, I'm going to say that that's the setup for this. On the ABC World News Tonight, hosted by whatever his name is with the hair, David Muir, they oozed incredible empathy for Zohra Mamdani after Andrew Cuomo had the audacity to laugh after a joke that was made by a radio host. Okay? That's the setup for this as the ABC World News Tonight takes this on. Cut 23.
In New York City tonight, the heated race for mayor turning personal. One day after Andrew Cuomo laughed after a radio host said Zohra Mamdani would cheer if there was another 9/11. Tonight, Mamdani coming before the cameras to respond. His personal and at times emotional message for the voters. Here's Trevor Ault.
Tonight, in an emotional speech, Assemblyman Zohra Mamdani, the frontrunner in the race for New York City mayor, declaring that despite recent attacks from his opponents, he will not run from his Muslim faith, pointing out 1 million Muslims live in this city, and they are New Yorkers like everyone else.
Will we remain in the shadows, or will we together step into the light?
Mamdani responding to this moment, his rival, former Governor Andrew Cuomo, laughing when a radio host said Mamdani would likely cheer on another 9/11 attack.
God forbid another 9/11. Can you imagine Mamdani in the seat?
I could. He'd be cheering.
It's another problem. But can you imagine that?
Today, Mamdani called.
Cuomo went on to say that the fact that Mamdani is making such a big deal out of this shows you that he's an actor, that he's always acting, and that this is not serious. And it's not serious. Let's be honest. It's not serious in the least. It is. Mamdani is trying to play the victim card here. And this is something that guys like him do. Play the victim card. Like, oh, you know, I'm the victim of Islamophobia. And if you don't vote for me, it's because you're Islamophobic. Like, give me a break. You know what I mean? Give me a break. It's ridiculous. And Cuomo even said, like, I mean, it was a radio interview with a guy. Mamdani's now trying to turn this into him playing the victim card because he is not dealing with the actual issue, which is that he does not have the leadership skills to be able to deal with something like a mass casualty event like 9/11, if that were to occur in New York City. He's a hack, but I'm telling you right now, don't think for a second this is not going to bleed over into the New Jersey governor's race. And if you missed what I said earlier today, Republicans are now winning the early voting in Gloucester County, New Jersey. And overall statewide, Democrats only have a 1.8% advantage over Republicans in early vote turnout, which is huge. And among non-voters, like non-registered voters, so they're registered but not party, so they're independents or other, because you don't have to register as an independent. You could be unaffiliated, but we'll call them independents for the sake of this, okay? That group also coming out in big numbers. And the polling that I have seen shows that that group is breaking towards Jack Cittarelli in a big, big way. Because they've had it and they've seen Democrats and they've watched as Democrats have destroyed New Jersey, and they're watching as Democrats are about to destroy New York City. You know what I mean? So they're seeing all these things and they're going, all right, I gotta do something about this. Democrats have been in control now for how long? And it's not yet. You got to go back to 1961, believe it or not, 1961, to find another time where Democrats actually were able to keep the office for three terms in a row. All right, quick break. Coming right back, and don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Or how about the mysterious death of Brittany Murphy? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped murder at the hands of the Manson family? The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton? The real-life murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? The three conspiracies surrounding Marilyn Monroe's death? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Hollywoodland is hosted by me, Jake Brennan, creator of the award-winning music and true crime podcast, Disgraceland. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
Good music. Good stuff, John. Good stuff. All right. So in the 6 o'clock hour, just so you know, Daniel Turner is going to join us from Power of the Future. We're going to talk to him about a bunch of different things. And I have a montage to get to of Democrats who said they never called President Trump Hitler. And they called him Hitler like a lot. But, you know, a lot. I'm going to get to that as well. We have a lot to get to. But he has a big deal with the president announced a big deal in Tokyo with Japan today. And this is great stuff. So meanwhile, the Democrats are plummeting in popularity because of the shutdown. The president is still just powering on and making deals. And he signed a trade deal with the prime minister of Japan. Let's start with cut number 7, please, from this world tour that he's doing right now in Tokyo. And talking about what this is going to mean. And again, this is a lot with the rare earth minerals and finding ways around China so China is not dominant in this and that the United States has to be held hostage to them. Cut number 7.
Under the historic trade deal with the prime minister that is signed today and private sector agreements that were signed moments ago, we'll be increasing our commerce very, very much further. Japan's going to be investing $550 billion into the United States, and it's an amazing thing, and they're happy, and they're gonna love it. It's gonna be really good. It's gonna be a great for everybody. But building up an allied industrial base, and you know, one of the things that makes me so happy is they'll be taking some of our product. Japan is I don't think I'm saying anything that's very secret. They've been typically slightly closed as a country. It was not easy to come in, but they're taking some of our cars and some of our, a lot of our different thing, rice, which is actually a big deal because, as you know, they wouldn't do that. And they're taking corn and they're taking the Ford 150 here, the big thing, some of our cars. So it's really a great thing. It's going to be great for them. It's going to be great for everybody.
And I mentioned this earlier before I talked about Tri-County Auto, but the cut number six, the president announcing a big deal. This is a big one with Toyota. Take a listen.
And I was just told by the prime minister that Toyota is going to be putting auto plants all over the United States to the tune of over $10 billion. So that's Toyota. So go out and buy a Toyota. And that's a lot to do with because right now we have all the AI plants. We have so many things happening in the United States. And it's because of November 5th, Election Day, but it's also because of tariffs.
All right. Well, there you go. So that's some good stuff. Let me tell you about Emmons Roofing and Siding, my great friends over there. 10% off inflation relief. Or just 10% off because they love you. Whatever it is, Emmons is giving you 10% off. You tell them I sent you. Roofing, siding, Anderson windows, doors, and so much more. And I haven't even gotten to the best part. Kitchen and bathroom remodeling. And, you know, I've used Emmons in two different homes now over the course of 12 years. When we bought our old house, the first thing we had them do was replace the roof because the roof was over 30 years old. It needed to be replaced. They did a fantastic job. In fact, I was so happy with the job Emmons did. I had them replace our windows and doors, and they did such great work. So then they opened their kitchen and bathroom remodeling division. They remodeled the kitchen, remodeled the bathroom, and did an unbelievable job. Here's the key. My wife was happy. Happy wife, happy life. What I didn't anticipate, though, was all the great ideas their design team would bring to the table. So in the new house now, they're going to be remodeling the kids' bathroom, which is a horror show. I mean, it really is a nightmare. And not just because the kids are slobs, and they are, but also because it's a horror show. So Krista and Pete, the designers, come over, and they send us a whole beautiful email with all these great ideas of the kind of fixtures we could pick out, a tub. I didn't even know there were different tubs you could pick. Toilet, all of it. And great ideas on tile. That's what I love, is I love that they give ideas on the project to help you move it along. And since I know they did a great job in their old house with the kitchen and bathroom, I know they're going to do an amazing job on this one as well. You can trust Emmons. They serve our whole region, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, and the Jersey Shore. And they are platinum. They are platinum, baby. What does that mean? That means that since they are the Owen Corning's platinum certified contractor, you're going to have a lifetime warranty on that roof. Lifetime. Always go platinum. So just trust them. Trust the team. My friend Matt Kelly, he'll make sure that the job is done right and you are happy. EmmonsRoofing.com. EmmonsRoofing.com.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Or how about the mysterious death of Brittany Murphy? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped murder at the hands of the Manson family? The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton? The real-life murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? The three conspiracies surrounding Marilyn Monroe's death? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast,
where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Hollywoodland is hosted by me, Jake Brennan, creator of the award-winning music and true crime podcast, Disgraceland. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.